Hey. Hey, man. What's the score? Yo, Chump, I'm talking to you.
My name ain't Chump. It's Billy Hoyle.
Billy Hoyle. Billy Hoyle. Okay, Billy. Can you count to 10, Billy?
Yeah.
Good. What's the score, Billy?
I don't know.
Then you're a chump.
I may be a chump. I just said that wasn't my name. The Movie Mixtape. My name is Dirk, and welcome to the first episode of Jeopardirk, which doesn't quite work, but I'm still going with it. Podcast hunks for 100. They're as tall as a house with eyes that could pierce ancient armour.
What is Mikey P?
That's right, what is Mikey P? Mikey P, how are you doing?
Doing great. Threw me off. That was really good. I didn't know where you're going with that. I just pumped up my shoes. I'm ready. I'm ready to play. I'm ready.
Beautiful.
I'm
getting up. Pump. Hold on. Question two. Movie nerds for 200.
Oh my God.
They're always banging on about Cary Grant, but they've never even seen Christoph Lambert in Highlander.
What is Marcy Dale?
That's right. What is Marcy Dale?
That's great. That's
Marcy great. Dale, how are you doing? Welcome to this episode number 58.
I have to say, Mikey, I understand. See, that's why I'm laughing usually when these episodes start, because that's what he does. That's what he's great at. See, you were
that's
completely thrown off.
If we were on the basketball court, he'd be like the point guard that's just making stuff happen. Behind the back, you don't know where it's going to happen. And he's like, he's a magician out there.
Yes.
There goes my synopsis, so I guess I have to rewrite mine.
If we were on the basketball court, I'd be the guy running off to get my gun from the glove compartment to rob the convenience store.
Robbing the convenience store.
Because they've got no natural talent, Mikey.
Such a good, that was so good, that part. You know,
but
I love that. Go,
hold on.
We're not going into it yet. Yeah.
Hold on. Because what we're talking about later on is the second film in our sports mix. You know what we're talking about by now. I'm not going to bother explaining it this time. Listen to a previous episode, okay? I explain it pretty much every single week, but this time I'm having it off, okay? I'm not bothering. This is sports mix. This is Mikey P's pick for sports mix. And what film have you gone for, Michael?
White Man Can't Jump. And it's funny you said that too. I was wondering, like, I on purpose, if you see the show art, like, I don't put a title on there on purpose just to see if, like, somebody would understand what the movie is, or maybe draw them in to be like, oh, I wonder what this is about. Obviously, you see it in the title, but I wonder if we should play that game. Like, what movie is this based on, like, the art that we're doing?
Ooh.
I would win. Let's do it.
Oh, Jesus.
Can we play this? Mm.
Well, I know. What? No.
I want to win the game. I want to win the game.
I want to win the game.
Do you know what? This would be like when Sydney convinced Billy that they were a team, but he was secretly hustling him on the side. This is Marcy right now. She's hustling us right now, isn't she, Mikey?
I like this. What you're doing is like a book report where you're telling the teacher, you're proving that you read the book, you watched the movie. I can tell.
I know everybody's names, and I know the sport. It was basketball.
But
how we doing?
Christmas is upon us.
Yeah, Christmas is upon us. I'm all right. How are you, Dirk?
Give and go. That's a pass and go. See, you pass the ball to her, she passes it right back, and it's up to you to take the shot. Let's just do basketball jargon the whole episode.
I'm spent. I'm spent with my basketballisms. Do you know what my exposure to basketball is, Mikey?
Olympics.
Oh. I was thinking about it.
See if you can guess.
Yeah, let me
think. The most exposure to basketball.
Space Jam.
Yep. X-Men number 4, Gambit and Jubilee play Wolverine and Rogue in a basketball game. In a pickup
that
game.
Was the most Mikey P answer I've ever heard in my dialogue. No, it was the arcade game NBA Jam.
Oh, that's cute.
Good one. That's a good one. That makes sense. That makes sense.
And then when it came on Super Nintendo and you could put in all the little codes and it would make their heads massive, mm-hmm. or you could play as George Clinton, that mm-hmm. music person, you know, do
Boom,
all that
shakalaka.
Stuff.
Boom shakalaka.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't really even know who George Clinton was at the time. It's before the internet and I lived in England. So I didn't really know who that was. I thought it was like Bill Clinton. And then it didn't look like Bill Clinton at all. So I was very confused by it. But I still did it because to prove I could.
My goodness.
I always thought that was weird too. Like Mortal Kombat code. Like everybody kind of knew code before the internet. That's a weird thing to know. Mm. Like all these secret codes that just like transcended the Atlantic. Like everybody knew the big head mode and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there were magazines or something, but I always thought that was weird when people knew like the Contra code. That was like, I don't think that was written anywhere, but like everybody seemed to know that code growing up. And it's just fascinating. Kids don't understand these days. Yeah.
Don't,
before the end.
They don't, do they, Mikey?
No.
Like if you did, what did you do? If you did an uppercut when something flew past the moon on that one stage in Mortal Kombat, you got to fight Reptile. Something like that, wasn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Hey?
That's right.
Still in there somewhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still in there. Marcy.
Uh-huh.
You did something fun today, didn't you?
I did.
I saw pictures.
Yes. So my mom's birthday was recently, and our, I think I talked about this last year when we did this episode, but my Christmas movie, for my life and with my mom is A Muppet Christmas Carol. And so for her birthday, our orchestra here in Pittsburgh was playing the score along to the movie. So that's what I took her to for her birthday. And we were walking around Pittsburgh downtown and I was like, yeah, and here's this big tree and here's this big tree. And my mom's like, I've never done any of this. And I was like, how? So that was fun. We walked around all downtown and I was showing her where all the big Christmas trees were. So that was cool. It was nice. We had a really nice day. That movie means so much to us. That's what we would watch every Christmas Eve. So I still watch it every Christmas Eve. I mentioned this in our episode. We had a great episode last year with Koblasto and Megan. Check it out. I love A Muppet Christmas Carol. I think you both are. I know Dirk is, but Mike, I think you're a big fan of it too, right?
Yes. Puppets and Muppets.
It's very special. I love Muppets. It's
interesting. Your mom's birthday is around Christmas and your daughter's birthday is not around Christmas.
Yeah, my mom is December 7th, which is Pearl Harbor Day. And Kaya is December 25th, which is Christmas, obviously. So yeah, two December birthdays for me.
So you're broke.
Yeah. it's the happiest broke feeling in the world. So love it.
It's always a little bit of a fight in our house to get the Muppet Christmas Carol on.
Oh, it's so good.
Because the girls just aren't into it. They're just not into it.
You know what? I was talking to my mom about this. I was like, you know, even just growing up in the 90s, we had that. And then Muppet Treasure Island comes out a little bit later. So Muppets were still pretty relevant. And then I just would go back and watch the Muppet Show because it used to be on during the day if you were homesick. And I watched all the older movies, so right now there's really no good, fresh, new Muppet content, so they really need to do that, so kids. But I was very happy. There were a ton of kids at this thing. Everybody was laughing, especially at Rizzo. And Beaker is my favorite Muppet, and everybody was happy and laughing when he showed up. Because Beaker's so cute. How can you not love Beaker?
Beaker's great.
Yeah.
Beaker, the Swedish chef.
Dirk, I don't think we asked you when we did our episode. Who is your favorite Muppet? I don't remember.
Who's my favorite Muppet?
Mm-hmm.
G to the O to the N to the Z to the O. Gonzo.
Perfect.
Gonzo. Unquestionably. I'm a Gonzo stan until I die. Which, you know, maybe soon. But we'll see.
No, we need to keep doing this podcast. You're not allowed to pass
on. The way that Marcy keeps looking at me so far. Jesus.
Well, don't wear a bingo hat when we're recording.
This is not a visual medium, Marcy. This is an audio medium. So that means nothing to people listening. My sartorial stylings are none of their business what I'm wearing on my head right now.
We'll have to post a picture. We'll post a picture of the IG.
Well, you've already beaten me because I've not seen Muppets Christmas Carol yet, and I'm wondering if I'm going to get to see it. We'll definitely watch Home Alone. Mm-hmm. That's probably the big classic in our house, Home Alone.
Mikey, what's your Christmas go-to with your family?
Probably Home Alone. But I will say we did watch Logan had – he loves Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I don't know if Betsy has read – if she read that yet. They have a Christmas one. And, you know, sometimes I think it's just supposed to be like something else that Netflix funds. There's a part in there, though, that got me real emotional when he was watching. I wasn't really paying attention. And then, like, it gets to the scene and it was heartwarming. The whole thing felt like Christmas. So if you want, I'm into looking at new Christmas movies all the time. So I think that's going to be part of the rotation. I would suggest it. Betsy likes it.
Yeah, Betsy, those are some of the only books Betsy reads. She reads the Wimpy, Diary of the Wimpy Kid books. Not a load else, really. So, and we've watched a couple of the films. I'll take that on advisement. Do you want to know what a good Christmas film is? A recent one, Michael, off on the Netflix. Jingle Jangle, I think it's called.
Yes, that was
good. Oh, I still haven't seen that.
That is real good. Really good. Really enjoyed that.
I thought you were going to say Klaus, because I like Klaus.
I knew Marcy was going to say that.
Klaus makes me cry every time I watch.
Well, just skip over what I was saying then, and Marcy can talk about Klaus. Go on, Marcy.
No, tell me about Jingle Jangle. I know Forest Whitaker's in it, and Keegan-Michael Key.
No, forget you now, Marcy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good movie. That town.
I'd like to watch that.
Jingle Jangle. Is it called Jingle Jangle?
It is.
It's really good. It's a musical. Marcy, I'm giving you some information. It's a musical. Forest Whitaker is a grumpy old granddad, I think he is.
So you relate to that. Aw.
Yeah. I relate to it. Oh, Jesus. We're going the right way to end this podcast immediately. I can't remember much else. The granddaughter comes and visits, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And brings some Christmas cheer into his underperforming toy shop. He's got one of your Keenan and
I said Keegan Michael Key already. I said
I didn't hear you because I was annoyed at you, Marcy. So I was tuning you out.
Don't you love how I've never seen this movie, but I can tell you who's in it.
No, I don't love that, Marcy. I think there's something wrong about that. All right? Mm-hmm. I feel like you should find other hobbies like cycling.
Whenever I'm winning us millions of dollars for movie trivia, I want an apology, okay?
Okay, Gloria.
Millions.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to talk about that.
Well, let's talk about this movie then, shall we?
Yeah, actually, before that, I wanted to talk about pickup game. Before I do that, I want to share a story of my time playing pickup ball, just because I think it pertains to this movie that we're about to talk to, and why it's relevant.
Before you start, what is pickup ball?
See, in the streets where I'm from. No, on the streets. Pickup games are usually if somebody brings a ball to the court, and there's a group of everybody that wants to come to the court and play. And usually you just do pickup games. Everybody picks sides. Usually it's a half-court game, as you saw in this movie, where, you know, instead of going to the other side of the court, you bring it up past the three-point line, and then you shoot at the basket again. Those are pickup games.
Okay, thank you.
So this one time, I went down to the courts by the beach, and I got there early to get centered. And the crowd eventually forms, and I camp out looking for someone to take advantage of. Okay, you know, take advantage of what I look like. All right? Mm-hmm. I'm a corny white dude, can't dress, and everyone assumes I'm not going to be able to ball. But I can't. And then I saw him. It was Mark at First Sight. This dude was talking so much. He made you think it went in even when he missed. He thought he owned the place. And so the game almost stops. Somebody gets hurt. And naturally, with money on the line, they look to me to replace him. Like, take the white dude. A couple of points and make a quick score. We won the game. But loud mouth, this guy ain't having it. And no, this is where I go in for the kill. I use that arrogance against him. And I challenge him to a shooting contest. And I act like, you know, dumb luck. I'd never do this before. This dude, his name was Sydney. He goes, he's good, but he had this one thing. I had one thing that he didn't. I had nothing to lose. So I beat him. But the crazy thing was that when we had schemes to hustle everybody on all these unsuspected people in the neighborhood. And, then I like try to elude the mob. And maybe we just became best friends. Oh, yeah, me and my girlfriend, she was on Jeopardy. And it's another story for another time. That's what happened. But that's essentially what this movie is. I mean, it really just starts off in the first... Ron Shelton directed this movie. And he was a guy that played like minor league baseball. And he wrote about his stories about playing in the courts, too, as like a street player. And he wrote like the first, I think he says like 37 pages, and he knew that this was the best way to introduce characters, I think, is on the basketball court. And so weird time, I picked the movie because I said it last week, it was like a renaissance of sports because early 90s was
Amazing.
It was. It really was. In terms of like the clothes and the music, but like sports, basketball, I think was becoming, at least in my world, like I was 12 years old and Michael Jordan was blowing up and he transcended the game culturally. People were dressing differently. And, it was also a weird time, especially in California, 1992, like right before right after this movie came out, the LA riots happened. And so this was like these race relations were, it's becoming national, a thing that everybody's coming aware of. And so when this movie comes out, White Man Can't Jump, and you're going to put Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes in this movie, I think you could go into this movie with complete different expectations. Like the tension should be high and it should be about, you know, or maybe they don't talk about the race or something like that. But I love how it kind of hits, they don't really dodge what they're trying to do here. I think that they really were saying, like, they, you know, Woody's fully aware that he's a corny guy coming here. He's going to take advantage of the situation. And I don't know. It ended up being like a fun movie. And I think I said to you guys once, like I watched it and I was like, this would be good before, right before we picked this theme, I watched it and had fun with it. And then I was interested to see what you guys kind of thought, because it is kind of goofy, but I think there was some parts that really worked well.
Are you a basketball guy?
Yes, I am. I played basketball in high school and like in college, I think that's where you play the most, what you said, like the pickup games. And so like this, even though like I'm a nice guy, like trash talking, I think is a big part of the game too. And that comes across no matter who you are, you're kind of like different. It's not like an aggressive way, but that's part of the game. And I think Sydney, Wesley Snipes, like really, they both really embody that element of the pickup game, the street basketball, where, like Wesley Snipes is not a good basketball player in real life. He's like a great athlete and he worked really hard to make it look like he could play basketball. But, what he did bring, why he was hired was because he had that mouth. He had the attitude that you need to have to be like the one, you know, in control. When he doesn't have the ball or he's not on the court, it's like, I don't want to watch the game. I want to watch Wesley Snipes. I want to see Sydney play the game here.
Actually, can I, God damn it, no pun intended, can I bounce off of that, please? My first note is,
I'm sick.
You're going to have to get used to it at some point. Okay. I'm sorry. But I love Wesley Snipes' mannerisms in this movie. And I actually think Wesley Snipes is such a physical actor, but in such a low-key way. Like when he's first playing Woody Harrelson and like he's like, it's so pretty. It's so pretty. I have a question for you both, because one of, I think, Wesley Snipes' best performances in a movie, I just wanted to know if either of you have ever seen this. It's called Too Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. Have you ever seen this? So it's Patrick Swayze, Wesley Snipes, and John Leguizamo, and they play drag queens. And just so much in that movie. But this really reminded me of it, just the way he is moving, the way he's acting over the top, so confident. And then you think of Blade and you're like, man, he is such a really good physical actor. Like, I know they're all three very different performances, but just he was so much fun in this movie. And I didn't know what to expect in this movie because, Mikey, so I'm just going to be real with you. Pittsburgh does not have a basketball team. Our University of Pittsburgh basketball does well sometimes. I don't know. Whatever. I don't care about basketball. LeBron James was in Cleveland for a little bit. That was a big deal. Other than that, like, really, like, nothing ever really got me into basketball. So it's just kind of like looking for Eric, where I don't know anything about football. I don't know much about basketball. So I wasn't sure how I was going to feel or what to expect with this movie. But Wesley Snipes was like a magnet, and I had a lot of fun watching his performance. And I wouldn't have ever guessed that he or Woody is Woody Harrelson good at basketball, or was everything just fake for this movie?
He could shoot apparently, and he even said like he's a better ball player than Sidney, but he's like by far a better athlete than he was. So he said things like that. And the betting, ironically, in this movie was on the set was like out of control. Like everybody was betting side bets. Like the scene where Woody actually had to dunk, Wesley was in his trailer and they lowered the rim and they had a bet like that he could really dunk. And when he did it, they bet like a couple $100. And then when Wesley jumped, and he's like, you lowered the rim. But like even the director, like he was behind shooting, and somebody was giving him problem, like, you have to pick up, you're half a day behind. He's like, let's shoot for it. He said, like, I get to keep shooting at the space, or I'll give you 15 grand or something. Like, you give me 15 grand or I'm going to like keep shooting. It was wild. Like, everybody's betting to the point where they're like, we have to shoot this movie. Like, everybody was horsing around. Wesley said it to somebody in like one of the characters when he's at home and like they're, where Woody Harrelson and Gloria, Rosie Perez, they come to confront him about hustling out of the money. I know I'm skipping ahead. But in real life, Wesley turned, when they weren't shooting, Wesley said, this is the most fun like I'm ever going to have in my life. Like, he was fully conscious. Everybody had such a blast like making this movie that, I don't know, I feel like it came across. And yeah. It's like one of those things too, like, I picked the movie too because it's like, I know they have remade it, but like, you couldn't recapture this energy or this magnet, the magic in this movie.
I think that's it. I think that's it in a nutshell. I think it almost seems... It seems absolutely redundant to have remade this movie because you cannot recapture the chemistry. And I think that's the big thing that propels the movie forward for me, was the chemistry between everyone, you know. So we've got Wesley Snipes, who plays Sydney, and we've got Woody Harrelson, who plays Billy. Billy. Yeah.
Yeah, Billy.
Billy.
Yeah, and Rosie Perez, who plays Gloria, who's Billy's girlfriend. And there's so much chemistry between everyone here. Coming back to a few things that you said at the beginning, I wrote down, who is Ron Shelton? because I don't think I've ever knowingly seen that name before in my life. But he did Bull Durham? I have seen that movie. So that's sort of the sports movie. So he's a sports guy. Yes. He's perfect for sports mix. I like him.
Tin Cup, some golf movie too later on.
Oh, he did that too? Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's interesting. You think he found his niche? So he's he found his niche.
Well, good on him. I like people with niches.
Yeah, me too. Good for him.
I'm into niches, big time. But one of the other things you said, Mikey, about how it just drops you straight in to the basketball, you know, and we're in it immediately. Yeah. If you're under any doubt as to what this film was going to be about, well, here we go. We're shown the characters, and then within about 3 minutes, somebody's playing basketball. And I think probably about 50% of this movie is just basketball. People playing basketball in some form, even if it's just trying to prove they can dunk a shot or hitting a three throw or whatever. It's so much of it is just the basketball, yet they still find time to develop these characters and make you really into or really concerned about the fate of Billy and Sydney. Yes, I thought it was magic in a way, real magic.
Yeah, it told the story too. Like, most of the times it's like they win a game, they lose a game, but the story happens in between and you almost don't need that. But I feel like there was a lot of story of getting to know these characters through like them playing. I do like also too, Ron Shelton, like, I didn't really know much of him too. And like, it does sound like just a sports guy, but I think he made some great decisions in terms of filming this, because one of the things they do was after the pickup game, Woody Harrelson goes into the shooting contest with Wesley, and they kept the camera going. So it's like, you buy it. It's not movie basketball. You see them make these shots in real time where there's no cutaways. Which I thought was great. Also, like, 100 frames per second, like shooting, like filming people running is always going to look cool, especially in sports. Like, it looks amazing the way he shot this movie. Also, the Steadicam. So he had like a playbook going where they're like, we need these shots for the movie. And they had a Steadicam in the court. You felt like you were part of the game, which is hard to do because, you know, they're moving around and you don't want to see a shadow of the cameraman on the floor too. But then he'd say scrimmage for like whatever. He'd fill up like a bunch of film, like just them playing and like letting them see what happens. And you get like a natural game, I think, out of it, which I think was smart.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges of a sports film where you actually show the sport is to make it look realistic. My daughter watches a lot of gymnastics movies, and I always, you know, you need to see some gymnastics in those films for it to be, you know, worthwhile. And she's watched a few of them, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that is dreadful. You know, that's nothing is happening there. But you really felt like we were watching people play basketball. People were hot, sweaty, agitated, aggressive, and they were going for it. And, you know, just like what sport is, like sport at its best, you know, healthy competition, fun competition for the most part, albeit that did descend into a little bit of chaos at various times. But yeah, it felt like you were in it. It did feel like you were on court. You weren't watching from, I'm going to use an American term, the bleachers. That's right, isn't it?
Right.
Is that right?
Yes. But,
done my research. Felt like you were there. Felt like you were sniffing Wesley's armpit. Felt like you were close enough to catch Woody's jock itch. You know?
Oh my God.
It was... Ew. You... Oof. Listen. We were that close. We were that close. Just needed an antifungal powder.
Oh my God.
Off the court, though, I thought it did a great job of actually making you care about these characters, and the chemistry between Woody and Wesley, I think, was there. Like, I fought them as competitors, but also like as what they end up being, really good friends.
Do they, Mikey? Do they?
Yes.
Do they end up being really good friends?
I think so.
Derek. If your friend gets your girlfriend on Jeopardy, you're very good friends. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't think they're friends at all.
That's interesting because there is that part which I thought was great where Wesley throws a game because he was hustling Woody out of money, out of a lot of money. And that's what you're referring to. Let me rephrase that.
I think there's absolutely camaraderie and there is a hilarious scene. So it's all about hustling, this film, isn't it? It's all about like conning people out of money basically through basketball games, essentially, for the most part.
But I will say, just to interrupt, it's not for fun, really, too. You could kind of also see it's a way of life. They were making ends meet, I think, with this money, which I felt was really real.
Yeah. And so Woody's and Wesley's characters come together, and Wesley convinced Woody to join him in a hustle ring or whatever, but eventually double-crosses him and hustles him out of some money. And then there's that scene where they go over to the house to try – where Gloria and Billy go over to the house to get their money back. And the thing that made me laugh about that was 1 minute the boys have got guns out and are like aiming it at each other. It cuts to the girls having a conversation in the kitchen and it comes back to the boys and they're all just sat down. They're all just sat down together watching the TV.
Basketball brought them together. That's symbolic. Yeah. Basketball brought them together. I love it.
Yeah. So there's definite camaraderie. But are you really someone's friend if you knowingly ask them to do something which will end their relationship, which happens at the end?
No, I think, I'm sorry. I'm just going to say, I think Woody Harrelson just does not know when to quit. And I think that's really all on him. I think that's really just all on him.
Well, no, it's on both of them. But I feel like Woody Harrelson, out of any movie character, out of any film I've ever seen, has the least personal growth. You know, he doesn't change from the start to the end. He's the same character that he was at the beginning as he is at the end.
He says, I need a job. He does it all. He wants to get Gloria back. He wants to get her back.
He's never getting Gloria back.
No,
Wake up, Mikey.
Yeah, Mikey.
Well, that's never happening.
I will say that about the hustle, though. It was like they could be friends, but he was really like doing it for his family. And like you see the scene where he's trying to get out of that apartment where they were robbed in. And yeah, you don't want to screw over your friends, but when push comes to shove, I'm gonna steal from my friends to get. I'm not gonna do this to you, Dirk. But I'm just saying, like, I can understand why he did what he did, and I don't think it takes away from the friends. I think even Woody kind of understands it, and that's why he's like, they were the same person pretty much in two different situations. I feel like he would have done the same thing in his situation.
I think there's real desperation, and I think that one of the things this film captures is themes about like what do people do to survive, what do people do to progress, and I think even more than the boys hustling money, playing basketball. At one point, I just thought, is this reality? Does every single basketball game have money wagered on it? Because that's what it felt like. And I was like, at one point, I went, is this real? You're putting down $1,700 on a basketball game with people you've never met before. It felt insane to me, that did. But the Gloria story arc, so the girlfriend of Billy's character, Woody Harrelson's character, the fact that she's very clearly an intelligent person, very clearly, because she's got all this knowledge in her head, she's able to retain all this information. But for whatever reason, and that may be because she's Puerto Rican, living in a low economic area. She's not able to use that to get a steady income, and she spends the days revising in the hope that Jeopardy's going to call. You know, that's, to me, that was like the real desperation. It's like, you know, she's pinned all her hopes on being called up into a game show when she has got all the tools that she would need to survive in loads of good jobs because she was so smart and intelligent. But there's obviously some form of, I don't know, not glass ceiling, but some kind of social barriers that prevented her from doing that. Mm-hmm. So there's desperation all around, wasn't there?
There's some subtle hints of vices, though, I think, because I don't know if you noticed she was drinking. I think they were
alluding to alcoholic.
She had a drinking problem, and Billy Hoyle, he had a problem with gambling, obviously, mm-hmm. and I think
addicts,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and Sydney, his thing was really like arrogance, and so they all had their like vice that they were getting the best of them. I think that I didn't think we'd get deep about this movie like this,
but I really liked about the drinking thing. You see it so quickly,
yeah.
You know, when she, you know, Woody goes off to for a shower and she quickly downs a drink, mm-hmm. and you think, oh God, she's an alcoholic, but it never becomes an issue in the narrative, does it? But you see, she's always drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you're just like, oh God, she is an alcoholic.
If we're going to talk about that scene, I just have to say, it was very hot when he had a jar of money, put it near her and said, I'm going to put my money, and what did he say? What does he say?
I'm going to kiss here later.
Yeah,
something.
I'm going to, like, so it's like, put my money where later. My mouth is. And I was like, that's a line. Yeah, that's a good line with a jar of money.
I remember watching that when I was 13 and going, what is he talking about? Why would he do that?
He's going to kiss what?
Excuse me? Yeah.
What? Sir?
My gosh.
Let's not mince our words. Rosie is very hot in this film.
Mm-hmm.
I was right last episode when I said I'd never seen this film before because I was unsure if I'd seen it or not. But I feel like all the sort of little trailers or vignettes that you've seen over the years about this film do an absolute total disservice to Gloria's character in this film. I kind of got the impression she was this kind of stereotypical sort of, I don't know, wife who beat down their partner and didn't want them doing anything and was controlling and had this crazy dream of going on Jeopardy. She's like the opposite of that. She is the most rational person in this film. She wants to believe in her boyfriend and gives him about umpteen chances. Yeah. And finally has the good common sense to realize this boy is never changing and just does one for herself. Good on you, Gloria. I loved her in this film.
I'm sorry, I just want to say that Rosie Perez is my favorite part of this movie. And I could watch an entire movie of just her playing Jeopardy. So
yes.
Let it happen.
Yes.
What's crazy is I was reading that he had written the role originally for like a upper middle class white girl for this movie. And then she came in and they all thought she was reading for Sydney's wife's character. And then she's like, oh, I'm reading for Billy Hoyle's girlfriend. And as soon as she started talking, he's like, I'm rewriting the whole movie, like just based off of her. And she was the character. And Rosie in real life, like she has the speech impediment. She felt bad about. Or she had like she's self-conscious about the way she talks, but she never let it like stop her.
And she was so full blown.
She was so good that it's like one of those roles where it's so iconic that it almost works against you because it's like everybody remembers Rosie Perez as this character, and it's almost like
you know what it really reminded me of, Marissa Tomei and My Cousin Vinny, where it's like that's what stands out. You are such an amazing character. You are stealing this movie from everybody. And she was so much fun. Oh my god.
You were hot AF. Exactly.
She looked beautiful. Exactly. I just love when I ain't getting shot for nobody when she's telling like Woody Harrelson that I can't even begin to explain the Jeopardy payoff of this plot. How elated and my body, like I felt like my soul was coming out of my body when the Jeopardy scene. I was like, if we want to just do all of Rosie Perez playing Jeopardy, I'm fine with it. Like, let's cut the basketball out. Oh my god. And just I love
it. Did you see that coming too? I love how they actually went there.
It was going to actually happen, but I love that she's like, so a few foods that start with the letter like Q, and then like what, and then chapters in the Bible, and then that's what happens when she's playing. I was like, this is. But I did really love whenever she got the first question wrong. But I think she was just nervous, and she's like Babe Ruth, and it was like a basketball question or something like that. And
could you imagine studying for Jeopardy without the internet now? Like, imagine going back and reading from encyclopedias to study for Jeopardy.
And it was nice seeing Alex Trebek too, and with the mustache, because I miss
God that voice. I mean, that's
I know Alex Trebek. I miss you so much, but oh my God. And them watching her and cheering for her. It was just so much fun. I love the Jeopardy bit. I can't believe there was a payoff to it though. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't think any of that was going to happen. So I was very, very happy. But she was my favorite part of this whole movie. And she was so much fun. Even when they're like playing and they're hustling those guys in the beginning, and she's kind of like, she doesn't drive away, but she is in the getaway car and she's keeping an eye on everything. Oh my God. She is just too good for Woody Harrelson. And I'm glad that in the end, she kind of smarts up. And I think that's the end of their relationship, because she just definitely deserves better. But like, oh my God,
she gets better, Marcy, I'm sure.
I love it. Yeah, but I want you to make love to me. Like, you know, like, oh my God.
Well, I'm sure she got that part in a soap opera, so she's probably dating Joey Tribbiani or something like that. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with American soap opera people. I don't know. But semi-related, this movie comes out while Woody's still in Cheers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Woody is in Cheers right now, and then here he is hustling suckers on the basketball court. I mean, I can't imagine how that must have, because I mean, big I'm a fan of Cheers, I'm a fan of Woody in Cheers. I can't imagine what my brain would have done if I'd have seen him in this like this at the age I was in 92. I'd have been like, oh my goodness, he's not an idiot.
Seeing the curse word. Yeah. You know, they showed up on the set too one day, like Ted Danson, and they shout out and they said George Wendt, that's the postal worker, I think. Or the big guy, the bigger guy at the end of the bar.
Norm.
Yeah. He said, one of the guys said he had a jumper on him that went in. He couldn't believe it, and they had to go shoot. And he was like all annoyed because he's like, he wanted to get back at, he was so surprised this guy scored on him. But I like that. Do you know who they were thinking about? They were trying to cast before they casted Woody. Was Keanu Reeves.
You didn't give me time to think, Mikey. You can't ask me a question like that.
I thought it was dumb. I thought it was going to be dead air. Sorry. It's Keanu Reeves, and they said he definitely would have got the role if he could play basketball, but like he could not play basketball for the life of him. That's why I went to Woody Harrelson. I could probably picture it, but I don't think it would have worked as well.
No.
I think Woody,
There's a bit right at the beginning where Woody's walking off the train, I think, he's walking to the court, and the Venice Beach Boys are singing, and Woody's face just stood in front of the singers, just enjoying the singing. I don't know what his face is doing, but it's like he's found a way to act with every single muscle around his jaw and his smile and his eyes. He's a picture. I love his face and just some of the stuff it does in this film. And I suppose there's some of the stuff it's done for the rest of his career, because he's value for money, Woody Harrelson.
He has such an interesting career, but he's such a good actor. He feels so out of place to me in this movie, but I think that's intentional, because that's exactly what you want. You want them to pick this guy.
That is intentional, I think. He's the chump, Marcy.
The chump. I love that. But he is kind of an idiot, though, too, at the same time, where he doesn't think Sydney's going to hustle him. Mikey,
he's a different type of idiot, though, isn't he? He's a totally an idiot in this film, but he's not Woody from Cheers idiot.
No, it is a different type of idiot.
It's a different idiot.
Mikey, we were talking a little bit about that we're getting a little bit deeper than we thought we would, and that the LA riots happened right after this movie. So I have to just commend this movie, because for the time it comes out, you would think that Sydney and Billy would have different plot lines, but it's actually Billy, who's the white guy, has the debt problem with the gangsters. And Sydney's just trying to get a new house in a better neighborhood. And that feels so ahead of its time. Where, like, you know what I mean? Like, the black guy is not the problem. It's the white guy that's the problem. So I really, that really stuck out to me. with this watch, this like first watch I had with this movie. But I don't know, Mikey, did you like really pay attention to those types of things? Did you think that was like ahead of its time?
I was realizing like this movie would not be made today, or if it would be, I mean,
well,
I don't know about this, and it probably was more about the race, and I feel like that was. I forgot what movie we talked about. That was part of it, but it wasn't really the driving force. It wasn't about racism in this movie. It was just the underlying thing, world that they lived in. And it wasn't like a thing. It wasn't like, one of the things I liked was that the trash talking never really went into the race stuff really that bad. Like, yeah, they said he was corny looking and stuff like that. There was no like gay jokes. There was no N words in it too, which is like, except there was one, he says at one point, but where it was more, it kind of like worked, Wesley Snipes. But I was trying to figure out how did it balance it from being something that could, because I think I even read something where they were like going into the theater. I feel like people, this was like in the lexicon, like the white man can't jump was something that was in like something people would say. And I think walking into the theater, people kind of didn't know what to expect. It could have been something that could have gone completely a different direction, but it worked where you're not even thinking about it by the end of the movie. Because I remember thinking there was another big white dude like playing in the tournament. I was like, oh yeah, like you don't even think about it when you're watching this movie.
I think the race is just realistic, isn't it? It's not a big sort of red flag or something like that, that they're just going, this is what this film is about. But each character's sort of journey is influenced by their background and their race and their culture to an extent. I like the way they do play a little bit with stereotypes, but don't sort of go there and things. Like, sometimes I thought, oh, you know, when Woody was getting all kind of, he was getting, jealous, and he thought Sidney was going to steal his girl in that one conversation. And it like, and that just like, that was just that one conversation, wasn't it? And Sydney was just like, that never even came out. Do you know what I mean? They play with it a little bit, and thankfully it's just not, doesn't go there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was really subtle, but real. There was race in it, but it wasn't about that. It was about probably what you were saying, Mikey, people in desperate situations, and what do they do to try and get out of those situations? And like Marty, you were saying, Sydney's character was probably the one who's, he had three jobs, wasn't he? He was working out of an office that was like a takeaway.
I think they did like roofs and store. Well, there was the roof and like the tile company, and then I forget.
And how about when they got burgled, like him and his wife and his kid, they get burgled in their flat, and he comes back and he's like going, oh, who's done this? And the cop walks past him and goes, burglars. It's like, what a dick. You know,
yeah, I really like that. That's why the riot's happening the next month. When I'm so sorry, I cannot think of his lady's name, but she's like, you were all here and I know you saw something. And she's kind of calling everybody out because somebody definitely saw something and nobody did anything to help them. But can I just say, what a different time that like $5,000 made such a difference that you could get a house. My God, that is not the case. What? Anymore. Yeah, that's what he
had. They were renting though as well. No,
they were renting and he was trying to buy a house, and they were literally saying like $5,000 and they were out of there, and it was like, excuse me, what?
I think he was trying to rent that other house.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he said they wanted a month ahead and a month or whatever. Okay. So they needed that amount, I think.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. But still, yeah, $5,000.
It wasn't super. It's still, yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like just the money in this was very 1992, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know.
I don't know. They played that one game for like over $1,000 and I was like ready to pee myself. Exactly. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
I couldn't
that was
do that.
Cracking.
Yeah.
But $62, that was what they shot for, $62.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I mention mom jokes? Your mama's jokes?
Yeah.
I mean,
this originated, Mikey.
This is, I don't, he wanted them to improv. And he's like, come back. And he came back with like a laundry list of things that didn't, a lot of them didn't make the movie, but This is where it started. I mean, this became like a fashion statement. This became a trend after this movie.
Funny.
And, but like, said, like, one thing that I thought was funny was that he said, you can't do STD jokes. And I was thinking, yeah, at the time, like AIDS was running rampant around this time too. So it's like, I didn't even think it, but that was like off. He didn't want to do like any like real race jokes, like about like how black your mom is or something like that. He didn't want any of that. And he didn't want any STD jokes, which I thought was interesting. But Kadeem Hardison, do you guys know him from Different World? Oh, you never saw A Different World? That was also, he was also on a TV show.
Different World. Yeah, yeah.
Dwayne Wayne.
Was that the Cosby Show spinoff?
Yes, Dwayne Wayne. Yeah. The guy with the flip glasses. That was Kadeem Hardison. That was his, that was the guy wearing the Michael Jordan. That was his partner in this movie. But that's another guy that was on a show at the same time, and he was in this.
Yo, mama's so fat. She fell down, hurt her leg, and gravy came out.
Oh my God.
It was that one. Yeah. And your mom is so old. I said, at your age, and she dropped down dead. I mean, part of me, I was laughing, but part of me also thought, is your mum being old an insult? Just because mums are obviously going to be a bit older than you. That's normal, right?
In Living Color did like a whole thing about it. This was like a running skit that they would have after this. Your mama jokes. They'd have like boxing matches. Your mama.
Some of it was so fast, I missed it. And you know what, Marcy? I wish it had subtitles on.
Okay, wait.
So I could have read those jokes.
This is perfect timing. So I had to reset everything on my TV. Mm-hmm. And I automatically, on all my streaming services, I used to have subtitles. And when I reset everything, I lost that. So I actually... Are you proud of me? I watched this without subtitles.
Always proud of you, Marcy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I was like, wow, I can't wait to tell him. And then you like perfectly segued, like you lined me up. Like, look at us. We're like Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson.
It was a behind the back pass.
Thank you. It was a good one.
But Mikey, did you watch it at the time, or was it just a recent watch, you said?
It was after, like, when probably VHS, like, right? It wasn't a theater watch, but it was definitely something I watched with my friends.
Oh, yeah, but it was the 90s.
Playing basketball. Okay. I mean, this was like, it was the 90s, yeah. This was awesome.
Is that what got you into it, love for basketball?
No. It was already, this was like at the same time. I don't know. Like, it was like maybe just in my mind, but like NBA was, I felt like blowing up. And then this movie comes out, and that's all we're doing is playing basketball.
I feel like the early 90s were when sports got a lot of money injected into it with TV. Is probably when a lot of the cable and satellite over here channels started piling money in. It certainly was, you know, with football and stuff over here. So probably maybe with the NBA, that's because when did Jordan become famous around the same sort of time?
That's what I was thinking. He just started his run. So this is 92. I don't know. He just did his first three championships here. And then, but he was like big in the 80s, but I think it really is like, you know, they're wearing Jordans, the shoes here. And I think it was just, I don't know, just the perfect time in my mind. But maybe it's just because I grew up in that.
Yeah. Well, what are some of your favorite scenes from the movie?
I did like that scene though. Cause like when we were talking about, would your best friend do that to you, set you up to fail with your girl? But he has a conversation with him. Cause so what happens was Gloria, you know, she wins Jeopardy. She wins a bunch of money. She can save her debt. They can pay off the mob. They get the mob to leave them. And Sidney still needs more money. So he asks Woody, and Woody, like right away, says, yeah, let's go play these guys. These guys have been talking about the street court legends. They've been playing down there. They don't know them. They can hustle out of big money. And he just got $2,000 from Gloria to get a suit to go on a job interview. And he was like, yeah, I got $2,000. And he's like, and he starts this whole thing like, Gloria, I'm going to go. I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to guarantee a win. And she at that moment knows this is it. Like, I can't live like this. Never going to change. Yeah. This is Woody. And I thought it was that made the movie, like if she just says whatever and it's like a funny bit, I don't think the movie hits as hard, but like it just became real where she's like, goodbye. I love you. Goodbye. And
yeah.
She's gone. And that's they break
she
up.
She died a little bit inside.
Yeah,
I think. Oh God, what was I going to say? There's a bit in it. There's a slight running motif of Billy Woody's character listening to Jimi Hendrix and Sidney saying, "You're listening, but you're not hearing." And I feel like that was what was happening with him and Gloria. You know, it looked like he was listening to Gloria, but he wasn't hearing her. And he was just doing what he thought he could get away with. And it'll be all right in the end. And he was definitely that type of guy who is like, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. It'll be all right. And I think he just pushed it. He just pushed it too many times, didn't he? Especially with now, they were in a position where they were financially secure. I think Gloria had probably won about 12 grand, hadn't she, on that game show. So you were like, we are secure now, and I'm going to win more money. So pack it in.
Yeah.
Just stop it. And he just couldn't. Like you said, Marcy, he's an addict.
I really like that she has come back so many times that he was just expecting it at that point. So it's so relieving that she really is. This is like it. Like I'm so happy for her because, you know, yeah, like you can love somebody all you want, but if they're not doing what you need them to do, if they're not taking care of you, if you're doing everything you can to take care of them and they're not appreciating it, yeah, it's time to go, unfortunately. And I really thought they were very cute together, but there were times where he would tell her to shut up and stuff. And I was like, listen, you don't know how lucky you are, sir. Okay, listen, you have Rosie Perez in your bed. What are we doing here? Like, no, she tells you to shut up. You don't tell her to shut up.
He told her what to eat. He told her to spit that bubble gum out. And then he chucked water in her face at one point.
Oh, my God.
It's just like, you're a jerk, mate. Yeah. He was a jerk.
He was kind of hard to like, if I'm being honest, just because he was kind of a fool, like him thinking like Sydney wouldn't take advantage of him. And just how he treated Rosie when she was going to give him the world. It's like, you don't do that, system. But that's what happens is sometimes women want, or just anybody in a relationship, there's one that will do everything and anything to make it work. And then there's one that's just totally ignorant to how much that other person is doing. And they kind of just walk all over it. And that was Woody Harrelson. He's like, I can sing her a song and get her back. And I like that to see that. And it really reminded me a little bit. We have all seen Barbie. But it really reminded me of that Barbie scene, which is just absolutely perfect when they're singing the Matchbox 20 song.
And it reminded me a little bit of Cheers, because he sings his songs in Cheers as well, doesn't he? good old Woody. What about you, Marcy? Any favorite bits?
It just really, I think Wesley really impressed me. He looked amazing too. Oh my gosh, the tank tops he was wearing. Oh my
goodness.
I was like, no wonder they probably saw this movie and they're like, let's make him a superhero. Yeah. Let's give him the Blade franchise just now.
I had to give him something, let me tell you.
I'm sad that he is not as famous as he used to be. I think he was in Dolomite Is My Name though. Did either of you see Dolomite Is My Name? The Eddie Murphy movie from a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's very good.
I did not.
It is very good. Check it out. It is on Netflix, but he is in that and has, it felt like kind of almost a comeback for him. But he had such a big 90s that it's kind of sad that I know he had some financial issues. Well, where Woody Harrelson still feels relevant and in the culture. I mean, Woody Harrelson's still in movies, big movies, getting Oscar nominations. You know what I mean? And, it just was like, wow, this is...
You don't know what people's stories are. You might have just not wanted to act for a little bit or something.
That's true. No, but also, I mean, he is a black man and Woody Harrelson is a white man. So, you know, so it goes.
Well,
and
he did go to jail,
same with Rosie Perez also.
Did he?
Wesley, he got into... It's kind of stinks, but it's kind of confusing how... But he got into tax fraud with the government and he... knew he was going in. He lost like 100. I mean, he looked like a skeleton before that, and he did like a Larry King thing. And he ended up having to serve. They gave him 3-year sentence. And he served like 28 months or something like that.
Gosh.
I saw something. I forget who it was, but the Ron Shelton and Woody Harrelson and Wesley came together to do like the 30th anniversary something sit down. They were talking about this movie, and Wesley looked very old. Like, it was kind of sad, like, because he has to, he's a great looking dude, and like all those movies Marcy's talking about, Demolition Man, we didn't even talk about, he's a leading man, he is charismatic, and he looked much different, and I think it really took a toll on him. And I remember a friend was like, you know, are you all right, and he knew he was in trouble and he called up Woody. He's like, Woody's got money. He can help you out. And he called up Woody and Woody's crying. He's like, that's my friend. Let's go talk to him. And he would not call. He was so prideful. He wouldn't return Woody's calls or anything like that. He wouldn't seek help from him. So that's like a downer about Wesley because I think Major League is another major movie. Every single movie I see with him, I was like, I remember watching when I was doing Demolition Man for Doom Pod. I was like, I love every single Wesley's Life movie I've ever seen. He was so good.
Yeah. Did you get to see the Oscars last year? Or, well, it was this year, but it was for last year's movies. Did you get to?
Go back to the beginning where we talk about not having time to watch your YouTube video, but go ahead.
Well, they did a 30th anniversary tribute to this movie. So Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson, and Rosie Perez all came out together and they did a little tribute to this movie and they presented an award together, the three of them. And it was very sweet. And for not even having seen this movie at the time, Mikey, it was very special seeing, especially like Woody Harrelson is still relevant, I feel like. But Wesley Snipes and Rosie Perez, not so much. But it was like that, like, Hollywood is like, we love you still, and we know how much you matter. And in, like, such a year with, like, especially Ke-Hee Kwan winning. And, like, just that, like, it's like, hey, remember these people? We love them. Yeah. And what happened? Like, what are we doing with these people that we love so much? So I just wanted to, I'll send the link when you have time 2 years from now. You can watch it, okay?
I would. I'm interested in that.
So, Mikey, what's your favorite bit though? Is it the basketball?
Well, before,
is it seeing the basketball, or is it the sort of the, I don't know, the chemistry, the relationships? What does this film mean to you then?
I think it does have a good balance of the relationships with basketball, because when we took the sports theme, I instantly thought of this because it was so relevant to what the story was. So just to go back to when you asked me earlier, I wanted to finish up that when you said when Gloria leaves him. And he goes back to the hotel to kind of like tell her they won and stuff like that. And he realizes she's gone. You know, Woody gets kind of mad at Wesley Sidney. And he was like, well, you told me to listen. You were the one telling me. He's like, I presented you an option. This is why I think he was a real friend. He's like, he could have been like, yo, man, like every friend would have been like, don't do that. You have to do it with your girl. But he presented him an option. And then he was like, you're a grown man. You make your own decision here. I didn't have to persuade you. I didn't have to twist your arm. Like, you were ready to go. And I like that because it seemed like a real conversation. I like that Rosie left him. It made it like a real movie. But the basketball, I was wondering what you thought, because it's funny, like, my algorithm on TikTok set for like street games and stuff like that. And the talent is like, even in the NBA transformed from the 90s. It's a completely different game. And there's so much talent out there that these guys would not be able to walk up to any court and play the game like this and win games. But what did you feel? Did it take away from the movie? Because there is so much, like you said, there's 50 minutes of slow motion basketball, and it kind of, I was wondering if that hindered it a little bit.
No, I don't think so. I think if anything, it was super fast. It felt like a fast movie. Like, I felt like some of the struggles, not struggles, if that's too strong a word, but it was halfway into the movie before we realized white men can't jump, and it felt like a throwaway bit. You know, I love the title of the movie; it is totally iconic, but it's not really a big part of this film, is it? It's like halfway through the film. I think I wrote down the timestamp as well because I was like, "Oh, here we go." They have this bit where he's saying he can't dunk a shot, and then it kind of. It serves as a way for Woody's character to prove he's terrible with money and he's an addict and he can't step away from a bet. And then the only payoff then at the end is he does make a dunk in the final match and the final point or whatever. So that's it. It's like two moments in this 2-hour film. So that was a bit weird.
And, counterpoint.
And hold on 1 second.
Yes.
And then, but you counterpoint me to shit, Mikey, in a minute. And also, I kind of felt like, maybe this is me being a terrible screenwriter, but I kind of felt like they should have, it kind of, to me, I was like, oh, they've done the tournament and they've won it. But we're 2/3 of the way into this movie. What's going to be the final third now? Surely that's the end of the movie. And then it ends on just like a downer, really. It ends on a downer. Like, oh no, you've pissed away all this money, mate. And you've lost your girlfriend. That's a shame. We could have finished this movie forever. With you being Victor.
They're going to be friends forever. That's where we're here.
I don't know if they are friends forever, Mikey.
You give them a job. Life, sure. He asks for a job. In real life, I want a real job. He works for his company. They make that construction company.
You know as well as I do, they spend all day betting on random shit. Like, they're like, want to bet I can throw this piece of paper in the trash can? Sure, I'll bet you $30. And that's all it is all day.
I would be interested in a sequel to see what happened with the rest of their lives, like together. Like, they're hanging out at barbecue still, and they're coming by, they're still hanging out, and they coach the local basketball team, maybe.
I think if we're being honest, if they make a sequel, Woody Harrelson is not in this movie because he's dead from a death.
No, I think at the end he said, I got to get Gloria back. Give me a job. I want a real job. I don't want to be hustling. I don't want to be doing
say
that.
Things like that.
Are you never right? I'm just going to say it one last time, Mikey, just so everybody's clear. He's not getting Gloria back.
Yeah, I like that. No, I'm glad. So I don't want them back together. But he uses that as like a counterpoint to change his.
But I think Marcy hit the nail on the head. He is Ken, isn't he? Desperate. Yeah. He's absolutely Ken. Desperate.
Hi, Barbie. No, I think it's really over. I think Gloria got the wake up call she needed. Yeah. And also, how good did Rosie look rollerblading? Too. By the way.
Oh my God! Can you imagine? Jesus Christ! She's just won $12,000 on Jeopardy wearing a Gucci dress, and then the next scene. She's rollerblading on whatever, Venice Beach, with, I can't even describe the top that she's wearing because this is a child-friendly podcast until Marcy swears. And then he's just like throwing his money away. Marcy's going to have to cut out all of this Woody Harrelson's character slander because I really, it feels like I'm obsessed about it. But I am going to put my cards on the table now, Mikey. So, no real. So, I don't follow basketball at all. I'm aware of basketball. I'm aware of Shaquille O'Neal. Okay. I'm aware of the Boston Celtics and stuff like that.
Wait, okay? Why the Boston Celtics of all teams?
Because we have a football team in Scotland called the Celtic. Okay. Celtic. Not the Celtics. Fucking hell. Celtic. Okay? So I know those. But I was into this movie. I really enjoyed this movie. Thank you. And I think what I liked about it was living in the world. It felt like it was just like you were dropped in and then you were dropped back out again. It didn't feel like necessarily they were going for anything super complicated. They wanted you to show you what it was like. They wanted you to see what it was like in these games. They wanted you to see what life was like here. And they created really engaging characters. So who wouldn't like this movie? This is a real, real fun time.
I think
who wouldn't like it? Marcy. Going to Marcy.
I think as soon as you see those Venice Beach choir chorus guys, what would you call them? I don't know.
Wholesome.
Quartet? No, there's three of them. There's some of them. It just was like, wow, this is not what I was expecting at all. And in a good way. I had a lot of fun watching this. Like I said, Wesley Snipes is magnetic. He looks amazing. I thought they both were playing basketball. So that means the editing in this movie is very key.
It's very convincing.
And Woody Harrelson, even though like he feels like a fish out of water, it's again intentional, but there was still something about the two of them. I feel like that in a way, I do think maybe they will be friends forever because Sydney feels a little bit of guilt in the whole Gloria situation. So now they're kind of stuck together. You know, I don't know if they'll be hustling forever. They should just like do pickup games and make money. I was kind of wondering how like the whole hustle thing was going to work where it's like, wouldn't people just be like, start like word of mouth is such a big thing then. It's like, hey, there's this black guy and this white guy and they will con you. And it's like, okay. But I do like that there were some twists and turns with like Sydney conning him, even though it's like, Woody, what are we doing? Don't you really? You gave him $1,500. What are we doing here? Like, you know, but I do really like that Gloria's like, we're getting your money back like right now. And she's like very determined to go back and get it. Rosie Perez to me is this movie. Just And it's so funny because, like, when you think of this movie, you think Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson. I had no idea she was going to be so pivotal. And she was just my favorite part of the whole thing. But I really had fun, Mikey, with this. But again, if you want to make a whole movie of her playing Jeopardy, please, by God, let's do it. Because it was so good.
My favorite scene was definitely when the guy gets the gun out of the glove compartment and goes to rob the convenience store, which is next door, to get the money to gamble on the basketball.
They knew who he was.
I was laughing. The guy was like,
"Hello, hi, I know it's you." And
he's like, "Raymond,
yeah,
take the mask off." And then he sells him his gun.
Yeah. So good. I was a real basketball player.
If I can't rob you,
that guy played NBA.
You want to buy my gun?
That guy played NBA in real life. The guy, he was on the Bucks in like the
then 80s. You would think he would have more money.
Yeah. I do like when he's like, "I'm going to shoot everybody on this court," and everybody just bolts it. That was really funny.
I'm going to go get my second gun and start shooting. And everybody's bombing it. I had a great time.
I did too.
Anything, Mikey, that you want to...
No, that was great. Thanks for watching. I think it was fun. I was hoping.
Well, you've got to say something at the end, though, to finalize it or something.
Okay. All right. Why men can jump? Dunking is part of the pickup game culture. And I think it's like, when you say white men can't jump, that's underestimating. It's about having to prove your worth. And everybody was underestimated in this movie, and they had to overcome that adversity.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry. I know that's not I was not being patronizing at all. I really do like that.
I think you're right. I think it is about being underestimated, isn't it? And perception. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot about perception.
Yeah.
And how you dress or the color of your skin. And that works not just for Woody's character, but all of the characters in the film. And about being stereotyped to a certain extent. And that is, like you said, being underestimated or somebody's expectation of how you are. I think that's what it is. But it doesn't slam you with that. It lets you enjoy the basketball. And if you really want to, you can enjoy these other things too. And I like films that really hammer a point as much as anything. But I really do like those. There's a film called Revenge, which is just a lady who goes after these three guys who do wrong to her. And you can just enjoy it as a happy hacker slasher type film. Or if you really want to, there's definitely something else going on. Mm. And I feel like this is in this type of movie. You can just enjoy bloody good scenes of basketball, lots of your mum jokes and Rosie Perez. or if you want to do something, or if your brain wants to do two things at once, you can think about what you just said as well, Mikey. So beautiful.
Good
beautiful.
Lord. See, I get the assist on that. I was thrown out behind my back and you were dunking at home. That's what it was right there.
Mikey,
that was beautiful.
I'm 5'8". I ain't dunking nothing.
Metaphorically, podcast slam dunk. A podcast alley-oop right there.
Boop! NBA Jam. Well, there we go. That was you white men. They cannot jump. Thank you,
Mikey.
Everyone.
Thank you, Mikey, for picking this. This was fun.
Thank you, Mikey.
We had fun.
But now in the movie mixtape, what we do is we switch gears a little and we go from picking movies to share with each other to picking music to share with each other. And we create our own musical movie mixtape. And if you want to click in the show notes, and I'm pointing down to the show notes, but it's irrelevant because there are no show notes underneath me, merely my trousers. You can find us. The link to our Spotify playlist, which contains all the songs that we've picked before. We pick songs that relate to this movie. I've explained this in a really terribly rambling way, but let's get down to it. Marcy.
Okay, so...
Would you like to go first, my dear?
I would. So I actually knew immediately what I wanted to pick, and there is a funny story attached to this as well. So I was watching, and I really was honed in on the Rosie Perez and Woody Harrelson couple of it all. And so I went with Franz Ferdinand, Know You Girls, because I don't know if you both know this song, but the chorus starts with like, "Know you girls will never know how you make the boy feel." And then as the song progresses, they realize, oh, no, you boys will never know how you make the girl feel. So the final chorus of the song is, "No, you boys will never know how you make the girl feel." So it's Woody Harrelson's progression to the story of how is she making me feel? Why am I the most important person? When really it's like, no, what am I doing wrong that's making her feel the way that she does? So... I picked that. That was what I thought of immediately watching this movie. But I have a funny story. I might have mentioned this when, I don't know, at some point. But there's this great, revealing some DMs here. I don't even remember this. But Dirk and I were talking one time. And he's like, do you know the band Franz Ferdinand? He was like, do you know Franz Ferdinand? He didn't say band. He just said, do you know Franz Ferdinand? And I knew he meant the band, but I could not believe he was asking me this question. So I was like, do you mean the Archduke that started World War I with his assassination? And yes, Dirk, I know the band Franz Ferdinand, and I picked them for this week, so you're welcome.
Oh my God. Yeah, I've just been side-eyed from Marcy with a pick there. I love that song. It's so catchy. What do Franz Ferdinand do? They just might write bloody catchy pop bangers. The first time I ever heard Take Me Out, Take Me Out. The first time I ever heard Take Me Out from there, I was like, that's it. Finish, lads. Just stop now. Because that is the greatest song I've ever heard in my entire life. You are not going to beat that. But God bless them. They kept on going. I do enjoy a bit of Franz Ferdinand. I think that is one of my top three Franz Ferdinand songs.
That album is very good. Also, we were talking about the magic of 2009. That album came out in 2000. When we did Inglourious Basterds, we were talking about the magic of 2009. That album came out in 2009. That is one of my favorite albums ever. Just wanted to say that. So, yeah.
Beautiful pick, Marcy Dale. I just doffed me cap to thee. I am also on a similar track, because I've also focused in on the Woody Rosie relationship. Wow. You know, I could have gone for Jump by Chris Cross, Jump by Van Halen, or some other song called Jump, but I didn't. Okay? I went with, you know, It's About Time. It's about time we brought this person into the movie mixtape. I've gone for a song by Robin, one of the Scandinavian pop superstar, and her song With Every Heartbeat, because the lyrics are, maybe we could make it happen, baby. We could keep trying, but things will never change. So I don't look back, but still I'm dying with every step I take. And that's Gloria walking away from Bobby at the end. So that's my pick, With Every Heartbeat by Robin.
I thought Robin was Canadian.
You're, Mikey, it's a common mistake, but that's fucking hell. I was going to say somebody who's been cancelled. Hold on. I'm going to say someone else. That is Brian Adams. Michael.
Yeah.
Well,
that was funny. What I really honed on to was the relationship between Woody and Wesley.
Aww.
Billy and Sydney.
That's what I like about you.
And I wanted to hit home on something. I only picked this because it's a phenomenal song, but also I think it has to do with... It came out around the same time, too. And it was by a band called Third Base, a group called Third Base. Some white members, black member. no master plan, no master race. And that, I think, signifies the race harmony that we should, that we, yes, should, that we should be living in. Choose what you be in. Wake up, it's time to respect the Nubian flag of a people fighting every day for their own say. So children can't go out to play and stray from the tyranny while blood is dripping pee. I ain't no flapjack, don't bother flipping me. I stick to this, say this while you're grazing. Original man's a black man, set by a Caucasian. Watching a culture be stolen from Asia, whether minor or major. Science assuage you with lingo. Some people don't think so. When do you stop saying that's the way things go? Time to manifest the quest. It's hard to digest, but companies are fronting, Pete. Why don't they divest and invest in freedom? But they scheme on a brother, stealing Trump jewelry that smiles undercover. So discover as a people, we have to take our place. There is no master plan because there is no master race.
What a beautiful turn of phrase, race harmony. I think that is perfect. Perfect. I've never heard that song. I've never heard of the band Third Base. I've heard of it in American teen movies, and I've tried to work out what that means because I'm such a clueless Brit. But I think it means something to do with, you know what I'm doing now, Mikey. Yep, it means something like that. Marty wasn't looking, thank God.
This records. Like, I'm going to watch the video playback. I'm going to see what you just did.
Well, there we go. That's our three beautiful songs. And if you're so inclined, why don't you hop on over to our Instagram at the weekend and you can vote on which of these song picks was your favorite. Instagram, you say? Do you have an Instagram account? Well, yes, we do, good listener. And our Instagram is the_moviemixtape. And if you follow us on there, you get to see the stories that I've just said. But you also get to see Mikey P's beautiful, beautiful art. And we've already seen his art for this episode, haven't we, Marcy?
Very colorful, very beautiful, very on par for Mikey P.
Very Sydney-esque with the, I can't get over those cycling shorts he had on right at the beginning when we meet him. Just my goodness.
The hat.
Those shorts were living the dream.
You know, that was a bicyclist company. I wouldn't know what was written on his hat, like what company that was. And it was a bicycle company. I feel like that was another subplot.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, another subplot going on.
He was just really into mountain biking or something.
But his ass looks really good. Yeah.
Well, Marcy, don't worry. Don't apologize for saying what we were all thinking. All right?
It's text. Perfect text.
So follow us on Instagram, the_moviemixtape, or if you are very verbose with your wordage, why don't you write to us at our email address, which is themoviemixtapepod@gmail.com, themoviemixtapepod@gmail.com. But let's just say something. Look, we know sometimes people can feel like there's a pressure to write in to a podcast and you've got to say something hilarious and funny. But look, don't bother. You don't have to. If you just want to connect with us, just connect with us on the IG and send us a little message and we can have a little conversation and we don't have to read it out on air. And we can just, you know, keep it personal. A few people have been doing that with us recently and we really always appreciate it and enjoy having conversations about the movies that we've watched and just growing friendships, which is a big part of this podcast. So don't worry about it being on a podcast. If you want to just get in touch, just get in touch. We're happy with that, aren't we?
Just write in. It could be off topic. Just have Marcy do like a Rosie Perez impression and then you just
say whatever you... No, do not.
I mean, I'll roll a blade around and...
No, do not, Marcy, stop.
Okay, a British Rosie Perez.
Oh, okay, don't go. British Rosie Perez. Kate Nash doing Rosie Perez.
I want you to make love to me.
No, don't, Marcy. we just got cancelled in so many countries, including my own. Unfortunately, I'm now a war criminal. But that's it. That's us done. That is White Men Can't Jump, slam dunked in the hoop, as you Americans might say. But we roll on like a basketball to the next pick. And the next pick comes from the mouth of one Marcy Dale.
Oh my goodness.
Marcy Dale, tell the listening public right now, what is your pick for our sports mix?
So before I announce my pick, I have to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Mikey, because when this mix got announced, I really could only think of one movie I wanted to cover, but it was a movie I knew that Mikey loved very much as I do. And I reached out to him and I said, I think I want to pick this. Are you thinking this too? Is this okay? And he was like, yeah, I actually was thinking this too.
Oh, really?
And Mikey let me have it.
Dirty buggers.
Mikey let me have this.
He let me have it.
And I just want to say thank you, Mikey, very much. So with just the most joy, because I love this movie so much and I know Mikey loves it too. So it's you know, it's a collective pick, technically. I'm picking 2011's Warrior, featuring Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy and Nick Nolte. I'm very excited to...
Warriors! Come out and play!
Come out and play! Not that movie. I did tell Derek I was picking this for reasons, other reasons. Well, we might be able to talk about that at some point or whatnot. But
because you can't keep a secret.
There is another very... I love this movie very much, but there's a very big, important reason why I also wanted to pick this movie. And we'll find out about it next week. Maybe Mikey remembers, maybe not. Dirk definitely doesn't know, but it ties a little bit into why Dirk picked Looking for Eric, why I wanted to pick Warrior. I love this movie. I don't think a lot of people really have seen it, but I'm looking very much forward to discussing this with both of you. So, Mikey, thank you for letting me pick this movie. And I am so excited to watch it with both of you for our next episode.
Well, I was excited to watch this with you guys, too.
I had so much fun, Mikey. I just want to say, I've always loved Rosie Perez. I didn't think I could love Rosie Perez any more than I did. There's a whole, like, now I'm about to make a shrine for Rosie Perez in my house after this movie. And I just want to say thank you for picking such a fun movie. I think this is going to be a great mix because I feel like with my pick, your pick, in the middle of both of our picks, you get Looking for Eric. So I think it kind of all evens out very nicely. And I think we've done a really good job. So bravo, pat on the back, everybody.
And you get to find out about each of us differently. Yeah. So I thought that's why this works. That's the point of this podcast, is to find out about each other through our movies.
Exactly.
Beautiful. That is, Mikey has summed it up 100%. So much so that there's nothing left to say apart from we love you all. And we'll see you next time here on the Movie Mixtape.
Bye for now. Bye.
So much work to be this good. Suck on that, you suckers.
Mixtape is a podcast hosted by Dirk, Mikey P, and me, Marcy. Episodes edited by Dirk and Marcy. Show art by Mikey P. Our logo comes from Iron Tooth Design. Follow us on Instagram at @the_moviemixtape or email us at themoviemixtapepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Bye. Mikey, who's your favorite Muppet?
That's funny. My kids just asked me that. My favorite Muppet. I mean, we're not talking Sesame Street, right? Because Oscar is my boy. That's it. That's my dude.
I mean, that's still Jim Henson. You could, if you want.
I would say in terms of the Muppet, I like the two movie critics. I forget their names, but those are, everything they say, I think is hilarious. Those were always my dudes.
Oh, God, I'm trying to remember their bloody names now.
Siskel and Ebert.
Flatlet.
Oh, God. I can't remember either. I almost said Wallace and Gromit.
Hey, Siri.
That isn't correct.
What are the names of those two old Muppets? Statler and Waldorf.
Statler. Well, that's right.
No, it actually worked.